We have the kinos now. Do not worry if you have to leave at some point. Just feel free to leave, but you're also welcome to come back in and out. And also, go at your own pace. If you know some of the commentary, I'm going to take our time with it. I'm not going to rush through the kinos, but you could take your own pace with the kinos, read ahead, whatever you'll feel more comfortable with doing. And I'm going to give some introductions and some explanations of lines, and I want to focus today on a new commentary that had come out this year. That'll be the focus of today's comments. Each year we do a little bit of a different theme. This year we just saw the release of the Koren Kinos, which have the commentary of Rav Soloveitchik, which are an amazing edition of the Kinos. And if anybody didn't get a chance to pick it up, we shouldn't have another Tisha B'Av next year, but if there is such a case, then this would be the way to go with these kinos. Rav Soloveitchik said that usually, spoke a lot about this, that everything has a maisa, an action in Judaism, and there's a kiyum, a maisa and a kiyum. The maisa is the active part of the mitzvah, the thing you need to do whenever the mitzvah is. I need to shake a lulav, whatever it is. And the kiyum is the way you fulfill it, the clincher. Rav Soloveitchik said that the kiyum for the Tisha B'Av is about feeling something today, or trying to feel something today. Some of the emotion of what is happening and what's going on in the various kinos. And while Tisha B'Av is about a destruction of a building, it's about a destruction of an edifice that was taken down twice in our history, this day is more about the Golus HaShechina. Or as we said last night, the sadness of the state of the Jewish people, the Shiflus B'nai Yisrael, the lowliness of the Jewish people. And through all of that, Tisha B'Av is, in a sense, part of maintaining our relationship with God in the aftermath of what has happened throughout our lives. And, you know, in Tisha B'Av, one's not supposed to learn Torah, but you are allowed to learn the things related to Churban. The Gemara even mentions the possibility of learning things that you've never learned before, because Rashi said there's a frustration when it's new for you and you're not exactly clear what's going on. So we will learn some things together along this theme, which carries through the kinos of our relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many Rabbanim said that direct questions on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, we don't ask the whole year. We could investigate a little bit on some basic level to do research. Judaism's into asking questions, but directed questions of how could you or what was happening here, we save for one day a year. We're given our outlet, and our outlet is Tisha B'Av. It's the day that we're encouraged to ask such questions, and we'll explore a little bit of that. I want to begin with the Medrash Eicha. The Medrash on Eicha that we have is divided up into three parts, and the beginning part are called Psichtos. Psichtos, they quote Psukim outside of Eicha to draw your attention, so to speak, into the Medrash itself, into the commentary. So I'm going to start with the Medrash Eicha Psichta Chaf Dalet. Begins with a certain tension. On one hand, Hashem wants to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But he's got a problem. He can't do it because of his virtual presence inside the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Davar Acher v'yikra Hashem Elokim mitzvakos b'yom ha'ol v'chi l'misbeit v'shah shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hakrav his Beis HaMikdash, l'hakrav his Beis HaMikdash. God wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Amar kol zman shani besocho, so long that I'm inside of it, ein umas ha'olam nogim bo, no one can touch it. So what do I do? Ela achveshes einai mimeni, ve'eshava shelo izakek lo ad eight kates. I'll stay away from there until the end of time. Ve'yavohu ha'oivim ve'achrivo so, and the enemies could come immediately and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The next dilemma in this Medrash is, now that I've destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, where am I going to go? Whatever way you want to understand this Medrash, is an allegory of what's going on in the upper realms. The ideas here are very deep ideas that it's getting at. Where does God go after God destroys a Beis HaMikdash? Kevan shenisra famar kodesh baruch hu shuv ein li moshav ba'aretz. I have no place to be. Asalek shechinasi v'menes. So I will leave this world. Ve'ele l'machoni harishon. I'll go back to my first spot, to the spot of creation. And he returns to Shemayim. And at this point in the Medrash gets very personal about the way it explains God, and a lot of imagery, and as far as kivyachol, giving God, so to speak, emotions and personality, but just for the point of drawing out a way of understanding what's going on a deeper level. It says that El Chava Shuv Malkome, I'll go back to my place where I came from. Ba'oso Shahi Akadosh Baruch Hu Bocha. At that time, God was crying. Imagine such a thing, a Medrash saying that God was crying. Again, whatever that means. Ba'oso Shahi Akadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Ve'omer Oy Li Me'asiti. What have I done? He Shreisi Shechinasi Lamata Bishvil Yisrael. I brought my Shechina down below for the Jewish people. Ve'achshav shechatu, now that they've sinned, chazarti l'nkomi marishon. Chas v'sholem shayisi sachuk l'goyim lag v'libriyos. God's worried about being a laughing stock among the nations now. They're going to see, look at this. This God that comes in, he puts you guys here, he creates the world, he puts the Jewish people on a pedestal. They mess up, and now God leaves, and he says, whoa, people are going to look at me as a laughing stock. And he's crying. And the angel, the Malach, Matetron, it's the name of the Malach, said, please, he asks Hashem, in a famous line, it's quoted in a version in Gemara Chagiga, he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't cry. Let me cry in your stead. It's not appropriate that the creator of the world, that Hashem, should have to be crying. I want to cry instead. So Hashem said, I'm going to private places that you cannot get to. B'mistarim tifke nafshi. Right? In the private places, b'mistarim tifke nafshi. So the angel again tries and says that let me see what happened. Why can't we get in there? So at that point, the Medrash says that Hashem took the angel. Come and you'll see with me what the enemies did to my house, to the Beis HaMikdash. Bo miyad halach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malachei Asharis, the ministering angel Hashem v'Yirmiyahu Lefanav, and Yirmiyahu was there. V'kevan shara HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Beis HaMikdash. When God saw the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Amar b'vadai zehu beisi, this is my house. Zehu menuchasi, this is my resting place. Shebo oivim v'alsu bo kirtzono, my enemies came and did whatever they wanted to it. Ba'oso shai HaKadosh Baruch Hu bocha v'omer oili abeisi b'nei ha'karni ha'chanatem. He says, woe unto my house, where are my children? Where are my kohanim? Atem ma'aseh lehem, itreisi b'chem v'lo chazartem b'shuva. And then Hashem turns to Yirmiyahu afterwards and says, a very powerful line here. Hashem turns to Yirmiyahu and says, I'm like a father whose only son died during the chuppah. I'm like a father who only had one son, and that one son died during the chuppah. And Hashem turns to Yirmiyahu and says, and you're not crying? And Yirmiyahu says back to God, it's a fascinating medrash. It's wild. I mean, if anybody ever turned and started saying this to you, you'd call them an apikoros. This is all in the Medrash Eicha. And the Medrash turns and says, Yirmiyahu says, I don't know how to cry. So Hashem says, I have a job for you, Yirmiyahu. Go to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe. Mikivraim. Go to their burial spots. Shehem Yodim Livkos. They know how to cry. Go to where they're buried, because they will teach you how to cry. Yirmiyahu, if you don't know how to cry for this situation, go to them and they will show you. Amar Lefanav. The one problem is nobody knows where Moshe is buried. Amar Lefanav Rabono Shalom. Eini Yodea Heichan Moshe Kover. I don't know where Moshe is buried. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lecha Mod Al Svasa Yardain. Go to the banks of the Jordan, v'harem kolcha, and lift up your voice, raise your voice, ukra ben Amram amod, and say, ben Amram, get up. Ure'eit soncha shebelum oivim, mi'ad halach Yirmiyahu l'mar samach. So he's telling him how to get How to get all these people up. Yirmiyahu goes to the Maras HaMachpelah, V'amr La'avos, Aulam Imdu Shigyuz, Matzah Meshul Nevei Kosh Baruch Hu. So he goes to each of them to go to ask them. Now, he goes to Moshe to ask, Yirmiyahu, Eini Yodei, Nichu Moshe, V'alachei Tzimalchesh. Moshe says, I can't teach you. He goes to each one, and each of them are saying, we can't teach you. We don't know how to show you your meow, how to feel anything. But when Moshe found out exactly why he needed to cry, Moshe began to cry. And then he went to the Avos, and the Malachim updated the Avos and what was going on about the house being destroyed, and they began to cry. I remember from all the Midrashim in the past that we've learned from Rashi, we know that the Avos and the great Tzaddikim knew what was coming. There's always a Rashi somewhere that says that they stopped and they paused and they were thinking about the future destruction. There was a prophecy. They all knew it was coming. But the shock that the Midrash has over here of when they found out that it actually happened. So the whole first part of this Midrash is Hashem very much involved in this process. You see from the vantage point of God that Hashem feels this that he needs, the people have sinned. He needs to do something. They're not listening. He needs to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but he can't because he's there. He needs to pull himself out. Once he pulls himself out, he realizes, where do I go? He's stuck crying in private, and the angel said, let's cry for you. He says, I can't let you in here, but I'll show you what happened. And he's showing them in Yirmiyahu. He's showing Yirmiyahu to go to the Avos to let them know, and so on and so forth. It's Hashem very much involved in the process and the mourning process. But then the whole Medrash changes. And Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, B'shah Shachar of Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ba'avram Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram comes to Hashem, and Bochu Mu'arit Zekhano V'tolish Sa'aros Rosho Makes Panav, he's hitting his head and ripping his clothing, V'efer HaRosh Ramach Beis HaMikdash V'sofe V'tzoak. Amar Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram cries out in front of Hashem, why did you make us so different than any other nation that we had to come to this level of busha uchlima, like no other people? When he saw also the angels in rows of Hesped, you've blocked the roads of Yerushalayim, the angel said. You've blocked it all. And Hashem doesn't answer anything. Hashem doesn't say a word. And the complaint continues. Ba'uso shah niskakeh gadkosh baruch hu l'malachei sharas. Hashem turns back to the angels after all this complaining that's going on. And amar lahem malachem kosher mispe be'inyan hazeh shura shuras. What are you busy with hespedim over here in eulogies? God now gets very serious. We're crying over Avram, who just walked in here and was crying and was devastated by what he saw. Why'd you exile my children? Spread them out among the nations and kill them in any chol misus mishunos. Ve'chraftes Beis HaMikdash. You destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Mokom shalesi es Yitzchak b'nai. The place where I brought Yitzchak, my son, b'ni, ola lefanecha, as a korban in front of you. Why'd you do all this? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram, b'necha chatu, v'avro kol haTorah. Your children sinned. They violated the whole Torah. And on the Esri Mushtayim Osios Bo, and the 22 letters that are in it. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way the Medrash depicts the personality totally changes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is like a rock answering your children's sin. That's the problem. That's why I did it. I did it because they deserved it. Quid pro quo. Amar lo tavo Torah v'tevi Yisrael miyab bo Torah la'i behem. Amar lo Avram biti adbat la'id behem. The Yisrael sh'avru. The Torah will testify against them, God said. You'll see they were a mess in everything they did. They were a mess in everything they did. They deserved it, the Jewish people. No answer. No answer for them, for Avraham, for his sadness, except that the people sinned. Then comes Yitzchak. Pachas, Pasach, Yitzchak, Amar Rabbono Shalom. Yitzchak gets up and he says, God, Kesha'amr li Abba Elohim Yirelo Aseh La'ola B'ni Lo'i Kafti Al-Dvarech V'nekari Baratzen Libi. When my father wanted to bring me as a korban, I didn't say no. I didn't even hold back. I ran up there. I ran up there to be a korban. Pashat Yetzvari, I laid out my neck, Tachas Asakin, under Avram's knife, so he should do this. Velo Tizker Li Zos, Velo Terachim Avanai. You can't remember this once and have mercy on my children? You know, God responds, nothing. God says nothing over here in the Medrash. Pasach Yaakov, Yaakov gets up, and Vamar Rabbono Shel Olam. He says, God, Lo Estrim Shana Amarati Beveis Lavan. I didn't spend 20 years in the house of Lavan. And when I got out of there, there was still no rest in my life. Ace of Arusha comes and wants to kill me. I've done all these things. My whole life I've suffered, says Yaakov. And now you take my children and put them into the hand of the enemy, like sheep to the slaughter. La'acha shegedaltim ke'efrochim. You know the pain that I went through in my life, Tsar Gidol Banim, of raising my children. You can have no mercy. Lo tisker li zos rachem abanai. You can have no compassion to have compassion on my children. God has no answer. Quiet in the Medrash. Pasach Moshe. Moshe gets up and gives a strong plea. Rabbono shel olam. Lo roe neman hayisi al Yisrael arba'im shana. I wasn't the faithful shepherd for 40 years. Veratzdi lifneim kasus b'midbar. I ran before them like a horse in the desert, like the Jewish people. Ukishiyegi zman shingsul aretz. When it came time for my dream to come through, true, to go into the land of Israel. That's all I wanted out of my life. Gazarta alai b'midbar yiplu atzmosai. You decreed that in the desert my bones should fall. And how much complaining, and I always defended and I stood up and I did everything I could. He says, isn't there some schus that I've done that the people could be sustained? Didn't enough people die already? And no answer. So everyone that Yirmiyahu was supposed to go to tries to go before God as an arbiter to get God to stop this and to stop the anger of the non-Jewish people, of the enemies of the world, to stop killing Jews and to God to restore the Shekhinah back into the Beis HaMikdash. Amazing Medrash, and no answer, no answer. And suddenly maybe someone who was the last person we'd guess, not the last, but further down the list of who we guess, would come forward. But also Shah, at that moment, Kofza Rachel Imenu. Mother Rachel gets up, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before God, Va'amra, and she says, Rabbono Shel Olam, Galui Lefanecha Sheyakov Avdecha Avani Ava Yaseir V'Avad Bishli La'Ava Shevet Shanim. You know that your servant Jacob loved me like an amazing love like nobody else. And he worked for me for 7 years. Ukeshi shlimo osan sheva shanim, when he finished those 7 years, vihigiyaz man nesuei labali, when it came time to marry off, yatz avilach lifenu labali bishvil achosi. My father played a trick and switched him out for my sister. Vahuksha laya davar ze ad meod. This was very difficult for me. Ki no dalia eitza vadati labali masarti lo siman. Sheyaker beini ubein achosi, kidei shelo yuchol avilach lifeini. What I did was I made a trick so I could fool my father, so I could get to marry Jacob. I gave Jacob the signs of how he would know it was me or my sister that night, so that my father wouldn't win this one and give my sister Leah to Jacob as opposed to me. I had a whole plan laid out, says Rachel. Amazing way of looking at the story. But what happened that night? V'savalti estavasi v'richamti alachosi. But I couldn't take it anymore. And I had such compassion for my sister Leah. Shelo teitzi lecherpu l'erech, so that she shouldn't be disgraced and mocked and humiliated. And I gave her over the codes. I gave my sister Leah the secret codes to know, so that Jacob would think it's me. Umasarti la'achosi kol ha'simonim she'masarti la'bali. I gave her over all the passkeys that I gave to Jacob. Kedei she'savar shehi Rachel, so that he should think it's Rachel. V'lo od, and not only that, God. She'nichnasti tachas amita she'yashochev imayisa. I went even further, and imagine how painful this is. She's madly in love with Yaakov, who works so hard for her. And she has so much rachmanis on her sister, that not only should she give the codes, and then she just walk away. She got in the bed as well, to make sure the plan goes through. She said, Nichnasti tachas amita. I got underneath the bed, she'yashochev imachosi. V'haya medaber ima. And he would speak to her words of love. V'hi shosekes. She was quiet, and I would answer. V'ani mishavatu. I'll call davar kedei shelo yakir l'kol achosi. So he shouldn't recognize the voice of my sister. V'gamalti chesed ima v'lo kinesi ba. I did this chesed with my sister, and I never was jealous of her. V'lo etzisi l'cherpa. I never cursed her. U'mashani baser v'dam afa v'nefer. And me, a human being with all my flaws. Lo kinesi l'tsara sheli. Lo etzisi l'vusha l'cherpa. I didn't get jealous. I didn't take out vengeance. I didn't curse her. Va'ata melech chai v'kayam rachman. Now you, Hashem, you're not human. You're eternal. You're merciful. Mipnei ma'kinasa lovel kochavim. Why did you get jealous over these Jews worshipping idolatry? She'ein ba mamish. Idolatry which has nothing to it. It sticks in stones. V'higlesi bonai v'nergu b'charev. But also oivim bam, and yet you exiled them and killed them by the sword and had allowed their enemies to hurt them. Miyad nisgalgu rachamav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After God's long silence throughout this entire medrash, His mercy was aroused. Va'amar bishvilech Rachel, for you Rachel, ani machzir es Yisrael limkoman. I will bring the Jews back to their place. As it says in Yirmiyahu, Ko amar Hashem kol baramanishma, nehi your voice, Ramanishma will be heard, the voice of Rachel. Nehi bechi tamruvim Rachel mevake al banea, Rachel cries for her children. Ko amar Hashem, thus says God, Mini kolech mi bechi venech mi dima, hold back your tears from crying, ki yesh schar lefulaseich, there's reward for your work and what you've done. Yesh tikva la'achri seich num Hashem. There is hope for your end, says God. V'shavu bonim ligvulam. And your children will return to their borders. What a fascinating depiction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You get both ends of the spectrum. Very emotional. Hashem angry. Hashem is sad. Hashem is crying. Hashem doesn't know what to do. And then you get God on the other end, who has this firm resolve not to answer the avos, even though the avos are our greatest arbiters, to keep a wall up, not to answer them, until Rachel is able to break down the wall where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't control it anymore, and says, don't worry, I will make sure that our children, that the Jewish people, return back to the land of Israel. I think this is a perfect medrash to explain the kinos, and the tension that you find throughout the kinos. You go through every kinos is like this. It's us trying to get angry at Hashem and trying to get a response from Hashem. And sometimes there's quiet. And some of the kinos we hear about God's at least screaming back at us, saying something. And that's the tension of the kinos. How to arouse our own emotion to feel something, just like Yirmiyahu was not able to feel and understand the magnitude of what had happened. We try to feel something today, and also at the same time to hear God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, responding back to us. I want to read to you from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, talks about Rav Avohu. Rav Avohu told the Apikorsim, the Minim, that Rav Safra was a great man. And when they heard how great Rav Safra was, they exempted him from taxes for 13 years. Once they asked Rav Safra, Rak eschem yedati al ken efkor aleichem eskol avonoseichem, that one doesn't hurt those they love. So why is Hashem doing this to the Jewish people? The Apikorsim asks. A good question. Rav Safra, who was supposedly the genius, Rav Safra, who they exempted from taxes because he was one of the cheshuvei of the clergy, from the religions, didn't have an answer. They started beating him up, says the Gemara. Rabbi Avohu says, why are you beating him up? The Apikorsim said, because you said he's a great man. We gave him off from the taxes because of it. And he can't explain one pasuk? Rabbi Avohu defended and said, he's great in Torah Shebal Peh. But he doesn't have people like you asking questions, you wise people, asking questions about the written law. So the Minim turned to Rabbi Avohu and said, how do you answer? So Rabbi Avohu gives a mashal. And he said that a man lends someone he loves, he lends to somebody he loves, and he lends to somebody he hates. He lends to somebody he loves, and he lends to somebody he hates. From the person he loves, he collects it bit by bit. From the one he hates, he collects it all at once. That's the mashal he uses to give an answer. Hashem gives something, or the one who it's talking about here, a person lends to someone he loves and to someone he hates. The one he loves, he collects back that which he was given, that he gave as a loan, he collects back a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Strange Gemara. But again, it's trying to figure out how it is that this could happen to us. How it is that this could happen to our people. How could we have gotten this far that this should happen to us? The Psukim in Ezra . It's in Perek Dalet of Ezra. It says, Hashem, look at these goyim, look at these nations. Look how they consume us. But we, the ones you called Bechori, the ones you called your firstborn, the ones you said were the only ones you ever gave birth to, so to speak, your chavivim, your beloved, your most dear, were given up, were tachas yadeim, were given up to their hands. If the world, says it says in Ezra, this is in Ezra, this is not a Medrash. If the world was created for us, why are we under the possession of the world? Why are we subjugated to the world? How long shall this go? How long shall this go? The Psukim in Ezra asked. How long should this go? A famous sugya that I've quoted many times, Sugya Menachos, of God sewing crowns on the letters of the Torah, and Moshe walking into God's office, famous Gemara Menachos. I'm not going to go through the Gemara again, we've done it too much here, but the main point of the Gemara is that every time Moshe keeps asking God questions, like this is the punishment for Rabbi Akiva, the man you say is the one who you're sewing crowns on the letters of Torah for, the man who you say is going to bring Torah to the Jewish people on such a massive level. This is his end, right? Moshe sees his end and his skin is being flayed. This is his end. And God says, shtok. Kachele b'machshava lefanai. Don't even ask your questions. Keep quiet. Rav Soloveitchik points out that the word shtok, keep quiet, means don't even ask the question. Shtok, stop it. You can't even begin to ask the questions. And Rav Soloveitchik said, we can't ask these kind of questions. But on Tisha B'Av we can. On Tisha B'Av, we're allowed to ask these kind of kashas. And that medrash that I read before continues with one of the most powerful questions that a medrash could ask on Hashem, that we could only ask on Tisha B'Av, and it could only be in a medrash Eicha. It says, Hashem, you're not following the laws of the Torah. It says, Havi Asher Lokus Arasecha. You're not doing like the Torah says. Torah says, Lo Tikach Eim Albanim, that you won't punish the sins of the parents on the children.
answers your question, Mr. Amanov.
It says the children won't be punished for the sins of the parents. And that's not what's happening over here. Also, the Pasuk says the children will be cut off from the outside and not within the Beis HaKnesses, not from inside the shul. But we find that the Jews are being pulled out of shuls. The Jews are being pulled out of their holy places and they're being killed mamish there. Oh. Medrash quotes. The Medrash goes through more examples of where God doesn't seem to be following what He said He would do. You have the Gemara in Gittin, Nun Vav, Amud Beis, where you have King Titus, who's piercing the Paroches, one of the greatest acts of blasphemy in the history of Judaism, where Titus comes and he's cutting up the Paroches in front of the people. And this gets to the very heart of what Tisha B'Av means to so many people. One of the greatest problems in the world was the giduf, the blasphemy that came out in terms of Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people. It led to Christianity's attack on Judaism. That look, Hashem has broken His deal with you, it's over for the Jewish people, you've gone too far. You call yourselves the chosen people. Look at you. Look at the way you live. Look at how you crammed into little shtetls using people. It led to a giduf that has lasted up until even today. A giduf, a blasphemy, that where no one in the world would dare say that we're God's children, or very few people would dare say that. And look, God has replaced, chas v'shalom, Christianity with Judaism. With that, we come to start the kinos. And I want to start with the first kina, which is kina vav, the sixth one, because we already had some last night. Kina vav begins with the word shavas. Shavas, we know that word, just with the nekudos in a different place. We know that feeling, whether you have hours on Friday to prepare, or you just got home from work. Right, there never seems to be enough time, no matter what. And you jump in the shower, you quickly shave, you feed the kids, and then suddenly, bam, it's Shabbos. Everything stops. Right, 7:42 or 8:12, and then once Shabbos comes in, there's no more running. There's no more balagan. There's no more trying to make any last phone calls. There's no more catching up on the email. Just stops. It's really, that's the transition of Shabbos when you go right in. Shabbos, everything stops. What you have in the kinos is you have every beautiful idea just reversed against us. Shabbos. Everything just stopped. All the joy that our people had, all the things they had to live for, everything just suddenly just stopped. The Slonim Rebbe says that Shabbos is our Ari Miklat. He says it at the end of Parshas Maaseh, where they talk about the Ari Miklat. He says, Shabbos is our Ari Miklat. The Gemara talks about it in Makos. It's our city of refuge. Parshas Noach, he says, the Slonim Rebbe, that Shabbos is our Teva that Noach was on. It's our Ark. It's our safe ground. And to see that very concept, that very word that indicates our safety, our serenity, our calmness, our retreat, which is the Shabbos, to see that word flipped around and used in this way, Shavas, to use in the way of the kina, that everything stops, but not the good stuff. The good stuff has all ended, and now all the pain has come. It's not leading towards any serenity. Not leading toward any serenity as well, at all. And it's amazing, we're reading all these midrashim and looking at these gemaras about just the blasphemy of the world. It seems to me it's an amazing thing that you didn't lose every single Jew. When they were going through these difficult tribulations, now many of us live very good lives in America, But you wonder, why didn't more Jews convert? What was it that more Jews didn't convert during the Inquisitions? Why didn't more convert? During the terrible things that were happening to the Jewish people, why didn't more just say it's easier and just leave? When everything just stopped, why didn't the religion stop? Religions have come and gone. Why didn't Judaism stop? And that's the big kasha, but it also is the great testimony that our relationship with Hashem, we still believe, is intact. We still maintain it, even through everything. We messed up, God maintains it with us. We believe that God did wrong by us and He sent us, kicked us out of everywhere. We still maintain it. We're still around. We still have emunah. Even though shavas, it all stopped. It all stopped over here. At the second line of this kina, kina vav, you have sechi umaus. They called me dirty and repulsive. Hasimuni be'edre chaveri. Worse than all my friends. They called me dirty and repulsive. Worse than all our friends. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that this is the symbol of the dirty Jew. This line is the symbol of the rat, the dirty Jew. I remember once seeing a video, some of the propaganda videos of the Nazis. There's a propaganda center in Herzliya in Israel. And they have all these old videos they collected the Nazis were showing. And in one of the videos, I remember what they did was they would show a couple of Jews with beards, you know, with the beady eyes looking at the camera. And they juxtaposed that picture. Right after that picture is done, they had pictures of rats going through a corner of a room. So your mind directly associated the two right away with like rat, you know, music of like mood music of rats rummaging as you saw the Jews. And then they would switch to the scene of a Nazi, you know, working in a factory, hammering in victorious music. And it would splice again to Jews in shul. You would see Jews, you would see a prayer house, and all of a sudden you'd see Jews exchanging money with each other. Could be someone collecting tzedakah, we don't know. But the propaganda made it look like this is what the Jews do in their prayer houses. And again, the picture of the rats and the imagery of the rats. This is the schiumius, the disgust, the disgustingness that we have over here that's being referred to. They called me dirty and repulsive. Again, this is getting worse than the physical building. It's not about the building. It's about the chilul kavod Yisrael, the shiftless B'nai Yisrael, how low and disgusting we've become. How low and disgusting. The whole idea of Geula, redemptions, assumes that there's some kavod left to the Jewish people. There's some honor and dignity. Some honor and dignity left. But the tragedy of the Churban was that it showed that all these promises that were made to the Avos, all these promises that were made throughout history, are all being slowed down. And the element of Chil Hashem was there through every tragedy. Rav Soloveitchik writes that during the Holocaust years, Christian clergymen argued that God had abandoned the Jews and allowed the complete destruction of the Jewish people, thus fulfilling the words of their Bible. I was confronted by these arguments, says Rav Soloveitchik, and I used to cry not only for the Churban, but for the terrible desecration of God's name that these arguments represented. And look what Rav Soloveitchik said, the significance, among other things, of the establishment of a state of Israel was the beginning of putting a stop to these arguments that God had forgotten about us, that we are no longer the chosen people. Rav Soloveitchik writes about it in his famous work, Kol Dodi Dofek, The Voice of My Beloved Knocks. And he talks about how the six knocks that are referred to in Shir Hashirim, these knocks each refer to something else in our history. And he says, first, the knock of the beloved was heard in the political arena. No one could deny, from the standpoint of international relations, the establishment of the State of Israel in a political sense was almost supernatural occurrence. Both Russia and the Western countries jointly supported the idea of the establishment of the state. This was perhaps the only proposal where East and West united. I am inclined to believe that the United Nations organization was created specifically for this purpose, in order to carry out the mission which divine providence had set for it. It seems to me that one cannot point to any other concrete achievement on the part of the UN. Rav Soloveitchik wrote this a little while ago. Our sages of blessed memory already expressed the view that at times rain can come down for one person or for a single blade of grass. I do not know whom the journalists with their eyes of flesh and blood saw sitting in the chairman's seat during that fateful session when the General Assembly decided in favor of the establishment of the state. However, someone who at some time observed matters well with his spiritual eye could have sensed the presence of the true chairman who presided over the discussion. The beloved of Shir HaShirim. It was he who knocked with his gavel on the podium. Do we not interpret the verse, "That night the sleep of the king fled," it's in Esther, as referring to the sleep of the king of the universe, Melech Mechem Lachim. Whereas Achashverosh alone, who could not sleep, it would have been of no consequence. The Jews wouldn't have been saved if Achashverosh alone couldn't sleep. But it's referring to the Melech, the real Melech who couldn't sleep that night. That's when the redemption was born. It had been John Doe who called the session of the United Nations to order. The state of Israel would never have come into being. But if it was the beloved who knocked on the chairman's podium, then the miracle occurred. It is the voice of my beloved that knocks. 8 years ago, in the midst of a night of terror filled with the horrors of Majdanek, Treblinka, and Buchenwald, in a night of gas chambers and crematoria, in a night of absolute divine Hester Panim self-concealment, in a night ruled by the Satan of doubt and apostasy which sought to sweep the maiden from her house into the Christian church, in a night of continuous searching, of questioning for the beloved, in the very night the beloved appeared, God who concealed himself in his hiddenness suddenly manifested himself and began to knock at the tent of his despondent and disconsolate love, twisting convulsively on her bed, suffering the pains of hell, as a result of the knocks of the door of the maiden wrapped in mourning, the state of Israel was born. What words that he writes. Shava suri meni shimuni ocharai. Sichi umos simuni be'edrei chaverai. Sakosa mishkan mischos tivirai. Sakosa vahuvlugu guburai. Sofku chafu madoverai. Kisila kolabirai. Nafla oideni betsuduchuya. Eini chiksala chazon bimrachia. Ad pile gilgo chavuya. Eini moele labiyamasinuchuya. Asa vinicha. Vigyakra labuchia. Vegam al eile. Venam al eile anibochia. Famous line, Aleila ani bochia, that on these I also on these I cry. It says, Asa v'nicham, he acted first and then later regretted, v'yikro l'bochia, calling others to tears. V'nam aleila ani bochia, it's not gam. V'nam aleila ani bochia, he cried out, I cry for them. Aneila ani bochia. Points out in the Rav Soloveitchik Kinos, that again, the traditional Christian argument against the Jews had been that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash would not have happened unless God wanted it to happen. Therefore, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the exile of the Jewish people are conclusive evidence that God had rejected the Jews. A logical conclusion of this argument is that the Jews should never be permitted to rebuild Jerusalem, as they have been rejected by God. The answer of the Jews to this argument is contained in this phrase of the Kina. It is true that God allowed the Churban. Also, God allowed the destruction. And this is the day when we ask the questions of why, God, why? But that does not signify that God rejected us. In fact, Asa v'nicham, God acted and then regretted. V'yenachem Hashem ki asas Adam. Similar to the word nacham, how do we know the word means regret and not consolation? The word nacham is from in Bereishis, Perek Vav, where it said that Hashem regretted that he made man. The word nacham is regret. So if God had truly rejected Jerusalem, he would not have told the Jews to mourn for its destruction. He would simply have obliterated the city and then ignored it, allowing the city to disappear into oblivion. But the Kinnah says, Vayikra lebechia, that God himself calls others to tears, which means that the Jews have to mourn and lament for Jerusalem every single Tisha B'Av. That's why the focus, by the way, you know, we have Kinnos now in the Holocaust, but why is the overwhelming focus still the temple? The tragedies in numbers were much greater. Why is the focus still the temple? Because that's the very signature point where God says, I reject you, and then regretted it. The Asa v'Nichem. If we don't forget about the Beis HaMikdash, it means that we're holding on to the fact. If we still cry about it, it means that we believe that God regretted that decision, that moment of rejection, which is the symbol of all of our rejection. So one way to read this line is Asa. God did it, but v'Nichem, but regretted it. And now we all cry for that decision. But there's another way to understand this line in the Kinnah, Asa v'Nicham. Asa means that God created the world. Asa, God created the world, chose the Jewish people, built the base of Migdash. However, the regret is the building of the base of Migdash. The destruction of the base of Migdash is, instead of rejecting the people, God rejected the building. Right, as the Medrash says, that God took out his wrath on the stones, on the building, on the wood, as opposed to the people. So there's two ways to understand Asa v'Nicham. Asa v'Nicham. Continue back in that Kinnah 6. Al pnei v'ras nubzu chasideha pal gesuf zachra ka'ar yusadeha pachad cheit shilo tachav sodeha Patsu chazire yara ya chasideha, patsu maser valinideha, persatzion bideha. The translation of that section of this kina is, the acid water of the Euphrates punctured the innards of the pious. The acid waters of the Euphrates punctured the innards of the pious. This is referring to the Medrash, which says that the waters of the Euphrates became polluted. And the Jews who were exiled to Babylonia came to drink the water. So they died of a plague. And the number of Jews killed by the water of the Euphrates actually passed the number of Jews that were killed by Nebuchadnezzar himself. Reminds me at the end of the Holocaust, when the Jews started to eat again, when they were given food by the soldiers, thousands of Jews died from not being able to handle the food and the intake and the exposure to a life outside of the camps. Up until this point, the one who wrote the Kinnah, which is most of these Kinnahs being written by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, the greatest of all Jewish poets, most of it has been describing the destruction of the second base of Migdash, but this phrase is referring to when the Jews were crossing the Euphrates, which was the first base of Migdash. And you have a reference to the first base of Migdash also at the end of this Kinnah of Limbo Chamas Vechema Nahalu, which refers to the space where the 10 tribes went to, where we lost them. And this Kinnah goes back and forth between the different destructions. We also said the line, Potsu Masea Erva Linideha. Potsu Masea Erva Linideha, which means, what merit do they have? And they proceeded to force their depravity upon the exiles. They proceeded to force their depravity upon the exiles. What this is referring to, again, this is Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation, is it's referring to the time during the destruction when we know that Ammon and Moab took the cherubs, the keruvim, that were on the Aaron, which were in an embrace, which were hugging each other. They took them off. They ripped them off and put them in the streets. They put them in the streets as evidence that the Jews worship idols. They were showing everyone, look, the Jews have their physical symbols as well that they also worship. They're a bunch of hypocrites. a bunch of hypocrites. Here it is, take a look. There it is in the flesh. The Jews have their idolatry. And they held them out overhead for the people to see. Again, all of this was to show that the Jews are lowlives, the Jews are disgusting, the Jews are hypocrites, the Jews are meaningless, and they're worthy of what we're doing to them. They're not even people. They're not even people. This is based on a Medrash Rabbah. It says, Rabbi Yitzchak Pasach, Boshnu ki shamanu cherpa chesisa chlima, paneinu ki bi'ozdar v'amikdash beit Hashem. We're ashamed because we have heard the people mocking us, confusing us, covering our faces. For strangers came into Hashem's house, the verse in Yirmiyah says. So the Medrash says, you find at the time when the enemies enter Jerusalem, Ammon and Moab enter together. As it says in Eicha that they entered together in the first chapter, 10th verse. They penetrated the Holy of Holies, and they found there the two Keruvim, the cherubs, which they seized, placed in a chest, and carried it around the streets of Jerusalem, explaining, did you not declare that these people were idolaters? Look, God said they're idolaters, and here's the proof. Look what they're worshipping. There's the Medrash, and this is the lament which it speaks of over here in this Kina. Let's finish the Kina up. Al heart, so do so name Adonai, so for Roshis Adonai, some Kuban Obla Mose Donai, so Natsar Telar Madonai, Saka, Mibi Maven Dinai, Sadiku Adonai, Ata Kalimi Parato, who made ye Armuni, care of the boy live, Echimuni, Kurosi, the Ashfi given Od Hames Armuni, Koli Lashmia, Baravig Muni, Kumi Avorai, Bahatel Armuni, Karasila Mavai, Hamari Muni. La marua chapeinu l'tevach shamru ra'isa kisanur orner kamaru. Yotze Ralz Vunachatit and Lavas Notzevinecha, Tikur Lajakam Kos, Kamuz Vinecha, Tavoko Ross and Lavanecha, Tavotzar Shakilano, Limbochamas, Behaman Ilano, Anaklas of Havaglin is Akainu Bahor Basu, Yvana Ramavedna, Amcha Hulan is a hard that I'm Ayelanu. Let's go to Kina number 7. The kina is Eicha Atzta Ba'apcha. Really, essentially, the topic of this kina is, God, how could you let this happen? God, how could you let this happen? And you have here the letters. If you follow, the letters here happen for a reason. You have the Aleph of the Eicha running straight through. And then the letters of each kina begin in a sequential form. And you have that a lot throughout the Eicha, where you have where the letters are played with in a certain way, in a certain structure. You have it in context, famous in Ashrei. You know, when you go through the Ashrei paragraph, you have also the letters in descending order. And Rav Soloveitchik said the idea is when you have the letters going sequentially, it's starting to start a cycle. You're saying, how could I ever stop praising God? The lesson is the same by the kina, but again, everything that's beautiful in Judaism is sort of flipped on its head on Tisha B'Av. The idea is when you have these letters formation in the kina, the idea is how could you ever stop crying over what's happened with us and God? Everything is reversed over here. Everything is changed over here. Everything is different than we know it. So Eicha Otzta B'Apcha La'abed B'Yad Adomim. Great line, and not remember the assembly place you designated for your followers. It's like whenever you have for kids, I know when we go to, let's say, I remember when I was growing up, your parents tell you that when you go to a theme park, let's say you're in you're somewhere on vacation, so your parents tell you if we should get lost, we'll meet up over here. If anything should happen, if somehow we get lost, remember, just meet up over here. Or you're at the camp. The camp tells you, the counselor tells you, if you get lost, we'll meet up at this spot. You meet at this spot. What happens is you get lost and you get there and no one ever shows. No one ever shows at the meeting spot. This is this line. V'lo zachar t'viyud vesek veses asher v'yadata l'viyudecha. Not remember the assembling place you designated for your followers where all of us were supposed to meet. And so we cry what's happened to us. Eicha zanachta b'zamcha l'zalzel b'yad zarim zvulecha lo zacharta chitun chukei choreb asher chakta l'chmalecha v'chein chavina zachar d'nai me'elonu. Eicha tarachta b'darcha l'tov b'yad t'meim t'lecha lo zacharta yekardecha yosher sheichu l'yodecha v'chein yelonu. Eicha kivan d'b'chasecha l'chas v'yafoshlim charmecha v'lo zacharta l'liznach l'olam asher l'mad v'lukecha v'chein lagnu zachar d'nai me'elonu. Eicha b'ilalta v'mascha l'imchos b'yad moni masanecha. Lo zacharta nisas nertas nesher shenasat lunecha b'chein ayin zecharim aylanu. Eicha sachta besarcha lezager b'yad seifim zadecha. Lo zacharta oz adei adim. Mezubitrecha b'mesech l'avdecha b'chein ayin zecharim aylanu. Eicha patzta b'vachta decha l'bacha b'yad b'ratzdim b'lecha. Lo zacharta tzal svi tzedech l'asher tzvat zvecha b'chein tzakta chum aylanu. Eicha karasa b'krascha l'aknos b'yad kamim g'rocha. Lo zacharta regesh b'recha b'lortzim ar-bortzdech b'recha b'chein. Ragnu Zchor Adonai Melano Eicha Sha'afta B'Shavcha L'Shalz B'Yad Sholim L'Mecha Lo Zachar Tokav Tal Tel Asher Tikan L'Mecha B'chein Taneinu Zachor Adonai Melano Ta'ananu Lishpach Kamayim Alma B'yom Dem Mishpash Bahayim Zachor B'Yus Yosheb Shal B'Shulayim Rato V'Decha Ata Ad Chuk HaShemayim. Okay, let's go now to the next kina. Kina number 8. Kina number 8. This kina, a'ede ad chug shamayim. A'ede ad chug shamayim. What would I do that I wish that I could fly to the sphere of heaven? A'ede ad chug shamayim. Where that I wish that I could fly to the sphere of heaven? The last kina segued into this one. A lot of the kinas, by the way, are going to segue from one to the other. They're going to go from one to the other. In the last kina, we had the line, Litrof biyat meim talecha. You allowed brutes to devour your lambs to pieces. You allowed brutes to devour your lambs to pieces. What's the connection between lambs over here? What's the connection that's being referred to with the lambs? So Rav Soloveitchik, in a beautiful thought with his very halachic mind.